Have you ever heard the phrase already, not yet? Today on Scandinavian Bible Church Podcast, we welcome back to our pulpit a missionary who not only has strong ties to our little country church, but speaks from the heart, David Harden. David, together with his wife Delia and young growing family, serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as part of the aviation team for Mexico Medical Missions. In our message today, David walks us through the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew and shows us how they apply to the progression we see in our Christian walk. And welcome to the Scandinavian Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, May 27th, 2012. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandinavianbiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join missionary David Harden from Mexico Medical Missions as he delivers his message entitled, Our Christian Walk, Already, Not Yet.
See, it's been 2 years since we've been here, and it's good to be back. It's good to see folks that look the same as before and sound the same as before, and they still love Jesus. And I was really touched yesterday. I just want to share a praise. I want to share a praise because we went down to Faye Bainbridge State Park and had a picnic. And Louis Bond was there. He can testify that it was an awesome time to fellowship with other believers who I've known for a long time. I grew up with them over in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church on Bainbridge. And I said to Louis, how many different churches are represented here? And he said, one. And well, that wasn't what I was trying to find out, the answer I was looking for, but it was the best answer, really, because we're all a part of the body of Christ if we are found in Christ. And it was awesome to be able to be there and see my brothers and sisters and talk with them. And they all go to different churches. There was maybe two people in that, or two families there who were going to the same, who were attending in the same body. But everybody at one point had been in the same fellowship, and that was really special for me. It was a special blessing from the Lord. Today I want to start out with a little confession. There was, getting ready to come up here to the States, it was a disaster kind of, because there was so much work to get prepared, done before leaving. We're a two-man operation. Mark's the pilot, and I'm the mechanic. And Mark's a mechanic too, but I'm the mechanic. And so there's a lot to it, we had a lot of projects going at the last minute. We were trying to finish some runways that we had been working on for a long time. And we were just getting these projects finished up. And there was a few radios that needed to be repaired in different locations. And so I had to, run out, make trips out to these places and fix the radio and change the batteries, and all the cables were corroded, So we're, and then this other place, we had to go out and work on the airstrip and get permission to use it, and so on. And then, getting prepared to speak at different places and preparing a presentation. And all the different things that we do every day anyway, like cut fire, get firewood for the neighbor, and all those local ministry details. And we had a bunch of flights early in the morning. It was the morning after daylight savings time, we start flying early in the morning because all of a sudden it's light at 5:30, and the best time to fly is early when there's not much wind. So I stayed up late a few nights, and I got up real early those mornings, and I just didn't read my Bible and pray. Well, I prayed, but it wasn't real, time with the Lord. And that period of time dragged out for about 2 or 3 weeks of not spending time in the Word and praying the way I needed to. And it took a toll on me spiritually. So that's a little confession that, and it's a reminder to all of us, to myself and all of us. The first thing I want to say is, spend your time every morning, in or evening or lunchtime, but every day devoted to the Lord in prayer and the Word. And the psalmist says, in the morning and in the evening. So if you think you're doing it too much, you're wrong. You're not doing it enough. If you know, I'm still working on the morning and evening. But maybe the morning can be your personal time and the evening can be your family time. But I want to remind you all that that is where we start. It's in the Word and in prayer. And that's our foundation, is in Jesus Christ. I want to have us turn in the Word to Matthew 5. As I was thinking about what to share or how I could, what would be good to share at this church, I didn't know. But I thought it would be good to challenge you with something that's been on my heart, and that's missions and being a missionary. Because I've been thinking, what is it that made me, as I was thinking about sharing, I thought, well, why am I a missionary? What made me end up overseas, you know, in a cross-cultural context in a different country? And I think it was my morning devotion time, or my morning time with the Lord. Getting up, reading and praying, and it's being a Christian that made me become a missionary. So I want to look at Matthew 5:1 and just I want to take a little step here and say that we're all missionaries if we're all Christians in one sense. I don't want to mix up definitions, because you can define a missionary not in the Bible doesn't define what a missionary is per se, really. It doesn't say a missionary is a Christian who is sent to a cross-cultural context, another nation. But we have defined it that way as a church, and I think that's a good definition. It's good to say that a missionary is somebody who is proclaiming the gospel of Christ, making disciples in a cross-cultural context or in another nation. Because it's good to have a definition that's clear that we can use. But I don't think I became a missionary. I am a Christian in a cross-cultural context, and I think that would be a definition that we could actually apply to each one of us, because nobody is in their own culture. Because culture is made up of, if you start to define what a culture is, it's a culture is all of your beliefs and the practices of life, and in a big bundle that is very hard to define. But each person has a little bit different belief system and a little bit different background, because every family is different. But there's two main cultures. I want to put this out there. There's the world culture, and there is the Christian culture. Because if you start to think about it, a Christian in whatever culture they are is going to start to... It has a book called the Bible, once it's translated in their own language. And they can open it up and read and learn how they're supposed to live and how they're supposed to believe. And all of a sudden, their culture begins to change. And it becomes more and more Christ-like. Now, I realize there are cultural specifics, like the clothes you wear, that are not going to change, but even some of those are going to change, you know, I hope. So Let's start reading in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And I haven't opened it up myself yet. And then you'll kind of see where I'm going with this. Matthew 5. We're studying Matthew in our hospital devotions. The hospital mission team meets together on Wednesday nights and on Sunday nights, and we are studying the Beatitudes, which is another reason I have turned to these. My mind has been drawn back towards them. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And then there's some other verses that we'll read in a minute. But you probably already read them. But there's a break in here. There's, you know, verses 1 through 6, I think, can be one section. And then there's verses 7, 8 and 9 and 10. And then there's verses 10 and 11 that are three different little groups there. And I've been, over the years, I've kind of looked at these and said, well, and I've seen that there's a kind of a progress, a process that's happening in these verses. Because I'd say the first one, in a personal application, if I was going to apply it personally to myself, I would say, that's talking about my salvation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because at a point in my life, when I was young, I said, I became poor in spirit. Or I realized that I was fallen and that I was full of sin and that I didn't have much within me of my own. And then I was blessed because I realized that. And the blessing was salvation, the kingdom of heaven. And at that same moment in time, I began to mourn and because of my sin. And I think that's a process that goes on. I'm not trying to say that the Beatitudes are a chain of events that happen 1, 2, 3, 4, but they do have it's sort of a process, and we might work through it many times in our lives. We start to mourn over those sins that are in our lives, and in other people's lives as well. But we're comforted, and that is a blessing. I think we, as Christians, we need to redefine what is a blessing. Well, we start to change the way we think, and we start to think, I'm blessed because I'm comforted. I'm not blessed because I'm rich. I'm not blessed because I have a lot of food or because I have, you know, many children. I'm not blessed because of this or that or the other, but I'm blessed because I'm comforted in Christ. Because those sad things will be taken away. And they are being taken away. That's the already, not yet. I mean, have you heard that before? Who's heard already, not yet? Everybody's heard that, that has spent any time in the Word. I'm already saved. I'm already seated in the heavenly places, but I'm not yet really seated in the heavenly places. It's kind of that paradoxical challenge of, I'm righteous, but I'm not quite fully righteous yet. I'm still battling with sin. And I see that in those first two verses, especially. You know, the mourning part, we think about it in terms of sin, but I want to say, why do you normally mourn? It's because of death. And that is a challenge for us, especially for all of us. We are challenged with death in our own families, people who have fallen away from the Lord. And I want to say that we are blessed because we will be comforted. And we also can mourn for the death of Christ, but then we can be comforted in that. Maybe what I wanted to say about that actually was we mourn because our sins caused him to die. But then we're comforted because he rose from the grave. In verse 6, I think that's it's just the next step in our Christian walk. And in my life, that was specifically started when I was in high school, junior high, maybe, or really. I can look back to a time when I saw that I needed righteousness. I needed to be holy. And in junior high and high school were some formative years for me, as they are for many young folks. I realized that I needed to grow in the Word. And I was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And you know, that was a blessing. I was blessed by that. That hunger was my blessing. That hunger and thirst for righteousness was my blessing because I was able to grow in Christ because of that. And that was all a part of the path that God was moving me down. I'm still hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but as I grew in my understanding of that, I think I am more and more satisfied and complete in Christ. And I hope that we all here today are feeling our satisfaction and our completion in Christ. We are really blessed in that as we think about that hunger and thirst that we were given at one point. And even today, I know it's a process, but you can kind of point to a time and say, wow, that was when I really wanted to change. And you can point to areas in your life where, wow, I just threw away that sin in my life and I didn't want to watch TV and Seinfeld and movies and all this stuff. It doesn't really have a hold on me anymore. I no longer really care about that. I just want to be reading the Word and thinking about the Lord and doing good things. And I we can go up and down, but we're kind of headed that way more and more in our lives. It's a blessing to be there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that verse there, as I was thinking about it, I was reminded of where is our desire? And I want to just remind you that our desire is Christ. Our desire is the Lord. Our desire is not the world. Our desire is not to feel good. Well, I guess we do want to feel good. The problem with it is it gets confusing because our terminology gets mixed up. We do want to feel good, but we want to feel good in the Lord. We want to be with Him. And I think that the blessedness of being a Christian is all kind of tied up in Christ. It's all tied up in Christ and in God and desiring God. Because He's good and He purifies us and He's merciful upon us, and then He blesses us with persecution. And then we come to the point of starting to rejoice because we say, I really am a believer. You ever have those doubts? Like, maybe I'm not really saved? Yeah, I've had those doubts. Especially at points when you find yourself struggling with impurity in your life and you say, why can't I cleanse my mind? Why can't I discipline myself to get up early and read the Bible every day? Why can't I remove those images from my mind? One thing that I've struggled with some is worldly thinking about how to deal with the world. When we see sin in the world, we want to fight back with the world's weapons. And that's the job of nations. That's the job of the army and all those people. That's not our job. We aren't to fight back with physical weapons that are used against us. But those are struggles that we all face in life. And we need to conquer those struggles. And the Lord is the one who conquers them for us by the power of His Word and through His Holy Spirit. And so we're blessed, again, as we are persecuted. I think that as those struggles come into our lives, and I'm speaking about some specific things in my life where I've seen things happen and I've wanted to respond, and mentally I've responded, and that was sin. But by the grace of God, I didn't respond physically. And His Word is working to purify my mind from those things. And I think that's how it happens for a lot of us. We know the Word, and then a situation comes and attacks us. The enemy attacks us, and he tries to cause us to respond in the wrong way. And our mind goes there sometimes. But then we need to treat it with the Word. We need to treat that sickness with the Word that says, don't even think, you know, and Jesus talks about it just a little bit later here in the Beatitudes. He says, you know, the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. So it's really, you know, part of this process of being blessed that God is putting us through. It's like the refining fire. He's putting us through this process of recognition of who we are and real understanding of His Word that happens and comes as we realize one thing about ourselves through a situation that He puts us into, and it's a challenge. And then we read His Word, or somebody else teaches it to us or preaches it to us, and we realize it and we accept it, and the Spirit makes that happen. And then we're changed and transformed, and we're blessed with a new heart, with a pure heart. And it says, blessed are you. So that's where I wanted to make the jump to say that we are all missionaries. We are all in this process of growing as Christians, and as we grow in our walk, we start to proclaim the gospel, and people start to do things against us. They start to do actual physical things against us. And then they start to do, and they also do verbal things or malicious things that would speak against us and against Christ. And it doesn't say that it just happens to missionaries, but it says that it happens to all of us here. If you're blessed, are you blessed? Are you being persecuted today or other days of the week? Are you being challenged because you said, I am not going to teach my children to think that it's okay for same-sex marriage? I'm going to teach them it's wrong. I'm going to teach my children that they need to read their Bibles and that that's the truth. Are we persecuted because we're doing good works? Is it wrong to do good things? Well, You know, that's actually kind of interesting, because a lot of times the world will laud those who do good things as long as they don't proclaim the name of Christ. And so if you're doing good things and you're not getting challenged, that might be a little test for you, you know? Are you doing good works but not being challenged by the world? Then you might want to look and say, am I proclaiming the name of Christ as well? Is my good work done in the name of Jesus? And that's a challenge for us too as missionaries. I think that in a cross-cultural context, it's easy to say, look how poor they are. They need lots of good things. They need us to serve them physically and reach out to them on a physical level. But we, and if we do that, a lot of times people will start saying, good job, good job. And then when you preach the name of Christ, then there's going to be a conflict point. And it's a challenge for all of us. I think we need to get past that barrier of just doing good works and say, we're doing this in the name of Jesus Christ, and you're lost in your sin without Jesus. And then we're going to get blessed again. and I'll just remind you of Hebrews 11, that we might be blessed in a lot of difficult ways. But it is a blessing. And it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, And there's a couple things there. One, he's likening us to the prophets, which is amazing. And when you get persecuted for Jesus' namesake, then he's likening you to those people who were named in Hebrews 11, the ones who were sawed in two and lived in caves. So that's a really challenging and blessing. It's challenging and blessing for us. So if you're sitting here right now thinking, I'm scared, well, I am too, of that those thoughts. But they're exciting. It's exciting to think about that God would count us worthy of being compared to those people in Hebrews. They weren't all killed, but they were all persecuted for his name's sake. And I want to say, the reason I got to this vision of looking at Matthew 5 as a process, but also that continues starting from the beginning and going on, but also a challenge to us, is because of the verses that follow. And these are ones that are used to tell us to get out in the world and share the gospel. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And I'll share a little bit about what our hangar life. We live in a hangar with two airplanes and two families and a rapidly growing population. there is a certain dynamic between Mark and I, and we go back and forth on doctrinal, theological issues, challenging each other. And the most recent one is, shine for Jesus. So, I don't know what comes to your mind when I say the word shine for Jesus. Well, Mark is he's a real straight shooter. And he, when I say we need to shine for Jesus, he says, Jesus shines for Jesus, and we're just dead. we're just like putting on a Jesus suit that shines, and we're really nothing. And I say, well, it says right here, what's it say? You are the light of the world. And then he says, but you can't do anything in and of yourself. You're worthless. Well, okay. So I huddle into a corner while he says, you're worthless. And I say, but I'm the light of the world. We go back and forth about how do you really define who we are in Jesus. We are the light of the world, but we really are nothing. And I think that you really have to look at it that way. You can't, after discussing it and debating it over and over again and trying to accomplish work, I think you really have to look at it in both from both points of view, because Paul, one of the great, the apostle that we look up to a lot, said that all of his good works were like filthy rags, and I can testify that my own good works are pretty shabby. I'm down in Mexico doing good things that the world lauds, but I'm not Jesus. I'm just Dave. And every so often, Jesus shines. And I just kind of am amazed when something amazing happens. Like, I say something to somebody and they respond to it. And I go, well, that was not for me, because I don't, that's not normal. It's not a very normal thing when I say, Jesus loves you, and they go, wow, Jesus loves me, and they really understand it. It's a very special occasion when that happens. But I just want to challenge you that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And that is where I want to look and step forward to Galatians, where Jesus, where Paul says, if you live by the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit. And I think when he says, if you live by the Spirit, he's saying that we are alive by the Spirit. If you are alive by the Spirit, if you are made alive, if you are blessed, then walk by the Spirit. And what he means is that we are to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. We are to make efforts. We are to make efforts not in and of ourselves. We are to make efforts in Christ, striving with our own will and against our own will to do what he wants us to do. And to take the basket off of our head, the one that we use to cover ourselves up, because we do. If you are like me, then you have the tendency to cover up your light. We just do. We don't necessarily, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at first to step out of our comfort zone. And that's a big word, comfort. And I think for Americans especially. But for everybody feels comfort in their zone, in their patterns of life. And I want to challenge you right here. It says, don't hide under your basket, because you are a light. Jesus is in you, and he's shining out. So whether or not you look at it as if I'm shining or Jesus is shining, it is Jesus who's shining. Don't be fooled. It's his blood that's covering you, that's washing you, that's giving you righteousness, and that is shining. But you are the light of the world. So get that basket off your head and shine. And get some salt in your life. Get some flavor. Get up every morning and read your Bible and pray. Not rote, not liturgy, but liturgy's okay. Some mornings you get up and you read, you don't feel too inspired. But his word is what transforms our hearts. And the Spirit works through his word and through each other, because not everybody can read, unfortunately. That's another big challenge we have to face as missionaries. I meant to turn my timer on and see how much time I was chattering away.
Take as much time as you want.
But there's a clock right in front of me. What time are we going till?
Two.
Two? Okay, well, I'll have to start telling stories about Bible school. That would be very boring.
We don't need lunch until you stop talking.
Yesterday at the picnic, we were talking away, and all these people were showing up I really wanted to spend time talking with. And unfortunately, some people left before I had a chance to visit with them, because I really was just really excited about seeing them. And I really didn't want to eat. And somebody said, here's your hamburger, you have to eat it. So I had to sit down and eat it. I ate a little bit and then talked some more. And then my son ate the top off and I had to, so I had to eat just the lower bun and the meat. But it was a really good time of fellowship. I really enjoyed it. And if when you see a mission, when you see somebody who you know is, if you see somebody who has that you and you feel the Lord leading you to encourage them, then do it. You need to reach out to that person and encourage them as a brother and just lift them up, because even if it didn't happen to, even if you did it and you were wrong. If you do it and you're right, it was worth it. I was really encouraged yesterday by seeing those brothers, and by seeing you all too. So that's good. It's a blessing. Let's see what else I scribbled down here that I could share. Yeah. So I think that the first couple verses are talking about our salvation specifically. One, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're blessed. The moment you know Jesus Christ, you're blessed. Blessed are you when you mourn. And that mourning could be applied to a lot of things, but I think it starts with our mourning over our sin and that death of Christ. I caused Christ to die through my sin. He wasn't a victim, but he died for us. And blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, your Christian walk doesn't start out boldly. If somebody gets saved and they get real excited and start being real bold, just tell them what Paul told Timothy. Tell them to wait, hold back and wait for a couple years. Till they really grow in their faith, till they mature. We need to be gentle, and that's a good place to start as a Christian. We're not to start out as lions. We're not to be lions anyway. We're supposed to be lambs. And then is that phase of growth, of growing into maturity, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And then that's where we're starting to grow, starting to reach out to people and demonstrate that mercy that we've already received. And that's why I was trying to say that we as Christians really are all missionaries, but we're not necessarily in a worldly cross-cultural context, other nation, other language groups, but we are in a different culture, because it's weird being in the world is really weird. And we are really different. We just don't fit in. When they start talking about the movies and the cars and the technological stuff, and they're all excited about it, and you go, that Harley really does not excite me. It's just a motor on wheels. And that movie is just the same star who's a big sinner, who is... You see him in a bunch of 6-second scenes, and all of a sudden he's glamorized, and everybody thinks they're great, and you go, that's really boring. And if you don't think it's boring, I hope you do someday really soon. I hope you get bored of movies and bored of secular music, because it's about their lover who they're excited for a minute, and then they forget about him. You know, it's really sad. It's really boring. And then our Christian walk moves on to start. We become peacemakers, and that's one that I'm really excited about: making peace. Me too. And that's, I think that is one thing I like about that blessing, is that it involves other Christians as well. It's brotherly love, not just people who aren't Christians, and that applies to missionaries too. That's an area of prayer. If you want to pray for missionaries that they would have unity on the mission field amongst different denominations. And sometimes there have to be separations, because it's just hard to work with people who have very different beliefs about some things. But most of those things can be overcome. Most of them can be overcome. But here in the States too, we can be peacemakers. And I saw that yesterday. I was really just, because just like Louis said, we are one church. There's only going to be one church in heaven. And I know we all know that, but it's good to work on it here on earth too. Not just look forward to. Actually, there's a blessing here where it says that, for they shall inherit the earth. And I was wondering what that meant. And trying to figure, I've always wondered what that meant, because I thought, well, I'm going to receive heaven. But we do receive the earth as well as believers. And that's, I think that's, maybe the point in that is that even though I don't really care about worldly goods, God gives me all the ones I need. I've been trying to figure that out for a long time now, but we inherit physical, earthly things, even though we don't really care about them that much. I hope I'm stimulating some thoughts, because that's really what I want to do. I want to stimulate you all to think about your Christian walk as it grows into an outreach. And I know for many of you that's the case already. It's just, I'm just reminding you, I guess. And then we get into those points of challenge where I think I'm headed more and more is towards being just blessed in special ways. Yeah. So we need to become salt and light to the world. And there's a warning here too. There's a warning. And I think it's important to look at that warning, because it's coming from Jesus. He didn't say it for no reason. He said it because he meant it and because it's true. If you're not salt, then you'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And that we've seen this happen. We've seen this happen in other Christian people who were Christians, and we know that God knows who the chosen are, but let's just take it as a warning to Christians, not to non-believers who think they're Christians. Let's take it as a warning to Christians, to us, that we could be thrown out and trampled by men. Not just, and that's we don't want to be there as believers. We want the world to persecute us because we love Jesus, not trample on us because we spit on his face. I think that's the warning there. And regardless of your view of predestination, we can take that personally as a warning and a challenge from our Lord Jesus. And let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that's the last verse I want to talk about. I definitely don't want to get into verse 17, because that's a whole other subject, I think. Although it definitely relates, but this last verse here is really what I want to get at, and it's the verse that we would use as Mexico Medical Mission is sharing the love of Christ in actions and words. And that is a simplification of what we're doing, what we're trying to do, and what we're striving to do, because it's not as easy, it's not quite that easy. You can't just say, I'm doing good works and I'm preaching the gospel. You really have to think about the works that you're doing, each one, individually, and be specific about it. Is it worth it for me to spend my time fixing that motor? Or is it worth it for me to spend my time memorizing the scriptures. How am I going to balance the time that I have? And this is kind of where the rubber hits the road. How do I spend all the time that I have? And that's getting back also to Galatians. If you are made alive by the Spirit and blessed, if you are blessed by God and have the Spirit in your life, then walk by the Spirit. At first glance, you say, he's saying, if you live by the Spirit, then live by the Spirit. But what he's really saying, God, I made you alive in the Spirit, and now I want you to take steps, individual steps, every day, every hour, every minute in my life, specifically planned out steps. And I think the problem a lot of times is we over-spiritualize it. And we get to the point where we say, I'm going to demonstrate love in my life, and I'm going to demonstrate joy in my life. I want to demonstrate all those things. But then when we get to self-control, we just kind of overlook that one. Because that one actually says, it's strange, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. But what most people take the fruits of the Spirit to mean is, when they get to that one, is they say, Spirit control. They get down there and they say, the Spirit's controlling me. And it's true, but it's self-control. Auto-control. We are controlling ourselves. And that's kind of that conflict that we have to just battle with all the time. We can't just say, God's doing the work in me. We got to take specific steps so that those fruits of the Spirit will be played out in our lives. I think there's a lot of missionaries in my particular mission, including myself sometimes, in different circumstances whose good intentions are wasted because we're not specific about demonstrating the love of Christ in a way that will do exactly what it says right here. In such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In that, with aiming at that specific goal. Because we want people to look at us, we want them to see us, and we want them to glorify God. That's our goal. So I just want to leave you with that thought in particular. That be very specific about how you use your life and how you spend your time and money and everything. Everything. So, and your children. So there's probably a big list of things that we have and resources that the Lord has given us that we can use. Especially in our culture, we have so many tools. That's one thing in particular, is just to watch out for the tools. That the tools don't get in way of the end product, because many times they can do that. And you know, let's close with a word of prayer, and give our lives over to the Lord again, as we have done in the past. Father God. We are challenged by your word to be sold out for you, to do a good job for you, and be disciplined in our thought processes, and to be filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit and disciplined in the Spirit, Lord. We pray that we would be a body of believers who work together, who lift each other up in prayer, who devote our mornings and our midday and our evenings and our families to you, Lord. And Lord, we rejoice and are thankful for the process of salvation and your gentleness and patience with us. Growing us at the pace that you have, Lord. Thank you that we don't all grow the same, but we grow at different paces and in different ways, and that you know all about it, and you've got it all figured out. So we don't have to worry or fret or backbite, but we can just submit our lives to you and love one another because you're in control. And because we are blessed, Lord, to know you. We're blessed to be saved from our sins and blessed to be transformed by the work of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all the testimonies of those people who have gone before us and have done such awesome things, specific, disciplined actions that were filled with your Spirit and that have brought the nations to your feet, Lord, all over the world. We are just so thankful for the fruit of the missionaries all around the world and here at home. And we pray for more fruit, Lord. Fruit that endures and fruit that glorifies you at the last day and today too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.